Welcome to Today on Broadway for Thursday, December 2nd, 2021. I'm Tell Me on the Sunday podcast, Grace Aki.
And I'm Broadway Radio's Matt Tamanini.
Matt Tamanini, I was texting you throughout the day because I was fortunate to see Paradise Square this week. I know we've talked about it a lot on the show. Mm-hmm. Drabinsky's return to the U.S., Paradise Square.
But he didn't actually physically return to the U.S. because he would be arrested if he stepped foot in the U.S., right?
Can he physically not be in the country?
I believe that I believe that's correct. Somebody who follows it a little bit more closely, I believe he still has an outstanding warrant so that while a show he is producing can come to the U.S., I don't believe that he can. Hey, this is Matt breaking in here. All of that information that I was just talking about with Garth Drabinsky not being able to come into the United States was true back in 2016 when he was trying to bring the musical Madame Suzatska to Broadway. But apparently in 2018, the charges against him were dismissed and he is able to come into the United States now. However, there are other issues that have been creeping up around him. Canadian actress Rebecca Kane and Broadway star in Les Mis and other things. She chronicled some abuse that she suffered during one of his productions, not at his hands, but at the hands of her Phantom of the Opera co-star Colm Wilkinson. And she questioned why Garth Drabinsky was being allowed to re-enter the Broadway and theater community despite ignoring her pleas for help at the time. So while Garth is allowed in the United States, he is never far from controversy. Anyway, back to the show.
So yes, I was a front row fox, hashtag me and Kara, our trademark. And I know that they've had significant changes since opening night. Like originally, I think the show was like 3 hours long when my friends saw it. And now it was like 2 hours and 40 minutes, I believe, which is a lot better. Act one was reduced a little bit, but it's still like 90 minutes. And it was a really... I didn't know a lot about the 5 points in New York, which has been a source of, film and TV and lots of different musical adaptations have been kind of constructed around this point of, during the Civil War, drafts / like freed slaves / Irish immigrants. Like there were like at least 5 plots, if you will, to the 5 points of Paradise Square.
The five plots of Paradise Square.
And yeah, there were like several storylines. And then it was just kind of like, okay, cool. Like I want to invest in each one of them, but I didn't have time to because we would go into the next song. The choreography by Bill T. Jones, I did not realize that he was doing it. And then I was like, oh, that's why I'm obsessed with this choreography because I love Spring Awakening choreography so much. And it was fantastic. Like A.J. Shively can and should get an award for his Irish dancing in the show. He was really spectacular. And Tony nominee and deserving winner, Jakina Kalakengo, is fantastic. And she can sing her face off in my face any day of the week.
There you go.
But I am curious about the rest of the life of the show. I was a little underwhelmed with how the house was selling, but this was a Wednesday matinee. So who's to say, right? I am curious about the rest of its life. And I hope that it has some changes. And again, like it's just a challenging story to tell. I feel like with so many moving parts, Irish immigrants, et cetera, et cetera. Like there was just a lot. Also, just as the last thing I want to say on this, John Dossett, who I love so much from Newsies, straight up. And thank you for saying Newsies because the set almost identical to Newsies, setting in New York, also the same, the time period, also the same. John Dossett, really, there is nobody else that should and does it as successfully as John Dossett, being a villain in this very specific time period, doing a very specific thing, which is being a wealthy tyrant and white guy. He is so good at it.
There you go.
And like, I want more. That's all I want to say.
Pulitzer and Hearst, they think we're nothing. Are we nothing?
Are we nothing? No.
No.
And on that note, it's actually, you know that it's been 10 years. Next year will be the anniversary of 10 years since Newsies started.
I think we are long overdue for a revival, if you ask me.
Back in the Nederlander to revive it after Mr. Saturday Night. Who's to say? So first in the news,
in rep.
There is a...
Do it in rep.
In rep. That's a horrible idea. So first in the news, there's a new musical adaptation of the film coming of a film coming up that I didn't realize would have a life on the stage, but here we are. So the Weislers, who we talk about famously on the show, they're responsible for Chicago and Waitress. They are adapting the independent film Real Women Have Curves. Sergio Trujillo will direct the show. Grammy Award winning Mexican pop group Jesse and Joy have been asked to put together the music and lyrics. Lisa Loomer, who is the screenwriter for Girl Interrupted, will write the script. She's also written a lot of other plays, especially about like the Latinx experience. The show will likely be the first Broadway musical with a Latinx director, choreographer, Sergio, a book writer, lyricist, and composer.
This is like one of those classic early 2000s independent films, starred one of my absolute favorite actors, America Ferrera. I absolutely adore America Ferrera. I hope that she's involved somehow in the show, even if it's just as like a producer or showing up on opening night, because I think she's the absolute best. And it's one of those shows that kind of like, or one of those films that really put a stamp on what independent film could be when it was burgeoning in the early 2000s. Obviously, there's always been independent film, but with the boom of premium cable that started to show a lot of those, this was an HBO Films original. So it was one of those things that got a lot of play in the early 2000s on HBO. And I think this is great. It's a very still timely, but important story. And I think that if they get the right people to do it, this could be really cool. And as we always talk about, the more stories by and about people of color that we can get on Broadway, the better. And even though I don't think this has necessarily the biggest draw in terms of a property name, it's familiar enough that I think people will be like, oh, wait, I've heard of that. What is that? I want to find out more about it. So I don't think this is going to be as big as, you know, Matilda or some other, you know, name that people know. But I think it could, if it's done really well, it could penetrate enough markets to be a pretty decent, you know, adaptation and have a pretty good run on Broadway.
Yeah. And the thing is like, it's been two decades. It's been 20 years since that movie came out. So just like Waitress, which famously was kind of like an independent film in and of itself, like it had already had a life decades ago. Right. And so these musical adaptations that have enough of a life after the fact, I think have a better opportunity. Whereas like if we had put out the Devil Wears Prada musical right after the movie came out, I don't think it would be as successful as it's going to be, or like The Notebook. So I think that they're doing, I think it's actually really smart to do it now, especially as we're finally being like, let's lean into some Latinx voices. Thank God. Like, I think that this is the perfect opportunity. So I can't wait to see it is kind of the point.
Yeah.
So a new trailer has dropped that it worked. Trailers are supposed to entice people. And now it has also enticed me. So the HBO documentary on Shakespeare in the Park's Merry Wives by Jocelyn Bio chronicles the outdoor theater's mainstay reopening with like a 12-week journey from like backstage, the actors, the company, the people putting it together, especially Jocelyn. The documentary is called Reopening Night and it debuts Monday, December 20th at 10 p.m. Eastern time on HBO. And of course, we'll be able to stream on HBO Max. I am thrilled about that.
I am just absolutely giddy with not only all of the like theatrically filmed things that we are getting on streaming services, but like the documentaries. Like we had, you know, Freestyle Love Supreme, or We Are Freestyle Love Supreme on Hulu. We have the Spring Awakening one that we were at while they were filming. That's going to be on HBO. We've got this. I feel like there's more. There's the one on Lin-Manuel Miranda's dad, Luis, which is probably a little, at least theatrically tangential. The best thing that ever could have happened a few years ago on Netflix. Like this is the stuff. Yeah. For Merrily. This is the stuff that theater nerd dreams are made of, to paraphrase another Shakespeare play. So very, very excited about this. And I believe, and correct me if I'm wrong, I believe Merry Wives is going to be a part, or no, it probably, it already has. It's already been on PBS. I keep thinking like this is August or something, not December. Yeah, but it was part of Great Performances, I believe. So you can, I think, I hope I'm right there. But I believe it was filmed and you can see that, so you can run them in tandem. So very, very cool.
Yeah. So in some more streamable theater, because I know this is obviously what we're very excited about. So the UK Barbican production of Anything Goes will be shown on BBC this Christmas. The live capture of the show will play on BBC Two on Boxing Day at 6:40 p.m. They were very specific. I had to say it. With the Music Man's Sutton Foster as Reno Sweeney once again. Did they fix the racist parts? I do not know. Will I watch it to find out? Unclear, but well, they will have it available to stream on BBC.
Well, first off, because I am a loyal and faithful Broadway Radio employee, I do subscribe to ExpressVPN, so I will probably be watching this on Boxing Day. But we can call it Boxing Day here. They can call it Boxing Day in the UK, but it is a much more important day. Do you know why, Grace? You don't know why, but I'm asking you almost rhetorically anyway.
Tell me why, Matt.
Because it's my half birthday. So
very happy birthday to you.
Thank you, Matt Hatter. So
I just watched Bake Off. I just finished the Great British Bake Off.
Which season? This season?
This season.
Okay. Don't tell anyone, but we'll talk about it off air because...
Well, if you watched the show, the finale of the show has to do with that.
Has to do with Alice in Wonderland and the oh my God, my heart broke about the focaccia.
I could cry right now, and we really don't have time.
No, we don't. But anyway, I would imagine even if you don't have ExpressVPN/Broadway Radio, I think might still work. But even if not, I have to think that this will eventually show either on PBS or Fathom Events here in the States. A lot of everything that gets filmed over there eventually shows up here, maybe on Broadway HD if that thing's still around. I think I still pay for it. But
yes, very much so.
I imagine that we will still get this here eventually, but I feel like I'm not going to wait, and I'm going to probably watch it on my half birthday at like 1:40 p.m. Eastern time.
Aggressive. We love to see it. Mm-hmm. So let's take a moment from the show to talk about our Patreons. So we at Broadway Radio, we are bringing you so much exclusive content, roundtable discussions, interviews. Matt alone is providing 95% of it. What do you have?
So on Wednesday, I had a great conversation, and this is going to be my next Tell Me More episode. And I believe if I'm pulling up my notes app about all of my Tell Me More episodes, I believe, yes, this will be episode number 60 of Tell Me More. It will be with not one, not two, but 3-time Emmy Award winner and soon to be, I think, at least Tony nominee, Uzo Aduba. We talked about Clyde's.
Girl.
Yeah, we talked about Clyde's. It was in between shows on a 2-show day. So I did that on Wednesday. So that next episode of Tell Me More will be coming out in the coming days. We've got a ton of stuff happening. I still have 2 other interviews to get out. First with Tova Feldshu, then with James Harkness, obviously Uzo Aduba. Mm-hmm. And then since Thursday night, tonight is Annie Live. Jennifer McHugh and I are going to be doing what's my other show? Some Like It Pop about it on Friday. That'll drop in the feeds on Saturday morning. James has an interview coming on Saturday afternoon. So we're going to be giving you so much content that you can't shake a stick at it. I don't know what that means, but there will be lots and lots of content.
Lots of content. Please continue to support us through patreon.com/BroadwayRadio. And I have to say this because you mentioned it. And number one, I'm actually kind of bummed that I missed out on the party invite for Annie Live. But they did send me an influencer box. And I have to say, thank you for this throw blanket, Annie Live, because this is adorable. And I cannot wait. Should I live tweet Annie Live?
Yes,
I feel like we've talked about it enough. Okay. Okay.
You need to.
Cool. I know a lot of the people working on it and like the choreographer. Like, it's just, I can't wait.
Yeah, here's the thing. I've been doing this damn show now for nearly 5 years. I can't get a job as a consultant for producers. That's all I've wanted. Yeah. I don't get influencer boxes. What am I doing wrong? You're an influencer. You're a social media person. All I want is free stuff and access that I do not warrant or deserve. So how do I get that?
How do you get that? What if I just forward you my stuff?
Well, no,
that I don't want. Matt, I'm just kidding. No, but let's figure it out because
no,
Matt, you are
playing.
Absolutely part of this thread,
no.
And we love to see it.
I just like stuff. You know, I'm a stuff person. Like,
you really are a stuff person, which I love because I also like stuff.
Yeah, not like materialistic. I don't want like expensive stuff. I just like tchotchkes. No. Like, that's what I like. Stuff. I like great big stuff. No, little stuff. I like tchotchkes, little memorabilia stuff. So that's all I want in life. I'm a simple man.
Wait, can I tell you, just because it's probably going to get cut. I don't care. Can I tell you what I got at the Broadway Flea for Kara Zelaya for Christmas? So, more on some off-Broadway news. The Woman in Black at the McKintrick Hotel will extend through winter due to their high demand. The show will play through March 13th of next year. So, if you are interested, you still have time. Tickets were just released, so make sure you go. In upcoming off-Broadway shows as well, Nick Blamire and Van Hughes musical Space Dogs at MCC will begin previews January 11th with a limited run through February 20th. However, the show will record an album with Ghostlight Records in January 2022. So if you can't make it to New York within that window, that's totally fine. You can listen to their album afterwards.
I appreciate you mentioning the album, even though it's on a rival label. That was very big
of
you.
Oh, I'm upset. I'm going to ask Nick, like, what's up, man?
Yeah, you're friends with Nick, right?
Here we are. Yeah. I can't wait to see this show. And I literally, like, who's in charge of what do I have to do to be at opening night? Because the way that Nick talked about this show, it being a cross between a Russian space rock moment / Wayne's World. I was like, I am sold. I don't care what you say after this. You said Wayne's World and I'm in.
I mean, Bernie Telsey's probably in charge, so you can just call him up, right?
Bernie, it's been years. Why haven't you cast me? Okay, so in other news, Forbes released their annual 30 Under 30 list, which highlights, you know, upcoming generations of talent, music, entertainment, social media, so many more things that whatever the children are doing. So from the theater side of things, honored on the list was Grammy-nominated team behind Bridgerton concept musical, Abigail Barlow and Emily Bear, and the star of the West Side Story movie, Rachel Zegler. I mean, that's great.
Have you seen the social media buzz for West Side Story?
Yeah.
Like best picture contender.
But we knew this. Like my film friends have known this, and now it's like slowly like seeping through everybody that got to see like this first New York premiere. And yeah, guys, what did you expect? Steven Spielberg and Tony Kushner.
Steven Spielberg's had some misses in recent years, but they're saying like he's now a front runner for best director. And like people are saying like this could be like a top five movie musical of all time. Like that's huge praise. Like former Tommy Moore guest Scott Feinberg from The Hollywood Reporter said that he actually.
My friend Scott.
You know Scott? Yeah. Everybody knows Scott. He said like he actually liked it better than the original, which he didn't think was actually possible. So,
saucy bitch.
I hope that was him and I'm not getting confused, but I bought a ticket. I'm going the first night it's available to be screened here in Disney on, I guess, a week from tonight on the 7th of December. So, I'm very, very, very excited, to see this. I've heard Mike Feist, speaking of Newsies, I've heard he absolutely kills it as Riff. Move over, Amber Tamblyn's dad.
I know a lot of the cast members in the show and I'm really, or the film, and I'm really excited to see them in it because it's funny. Like I remember when everybody was cast 3 years ago. And so it's just been anticipation and like, who doesn't love West Side Story, the original film? I know it's conflicting, but like, I love the original. And so I'm really excited about the new life for this movie. And of course, we're going to talk about it on the show, right? We have to do a Patreon exclusive.
Yeah, let's do it.
Talk about it. And a notice from the Telsey casting office. Speaking of Bernie Telsey, this is his show today, I guess. So the Telsey casting office put out this statement looking for the film, the Wicked film adaptation, because I want to be very clear, for the Wicked film and not Wicked Broadway musical. They are looking to cast authentically for the part of Nessa Rose. Actors who are wheelchair users, ambulatory and non-ambulatory, are strongly encouraged to submit for the role. That does not mean that the actor will be cast in a wheelchair. It just means that they are looking, they are seeking to authentically cast that. The thing about this casting that is, and we actually talked about this, on the show when they announced the Wicked movie, is that number one, it's kind of a part of the story that she stands.
She walks.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah.
Number two, the precedent I fear, well, because number one, I want to very clearly say that I advocate for people that have handicaps like this to be cast in things in general. I fully support that. But the thing that I want to mention is that, like, I feel like this sets a weird precedent for the Broadway show, because there is no way, because of the staging of the show, because of the actual book of the show, and the backstage of the Gershwin in general, does not have the capacity to have someone cast in this role that is a wheelchair user. So that's the part that hurts for me, because I believe there are so many people that would be incredible in that show and incredible in that role, that would never get the opportunity. So I love that this sets sets up a way for someone to be cast in this Wicked movie that has this use. But at the same time, I'm like, will they cast that person, or, you know, what will this mean? And I just want to support whatever is the most helpful and handicap positive.
Yeah, well, and I think it's important that they mentioned the fact that they are open to wheelchair users who are both ambulatory and non-ambulatory. What that means is that there are some people who use wheelchairs in their daily life, but are able to stand and take a certain amount of steps. And obviously some people cannot. We understand that. So I think what's interesting is the fact that, like, they're open to doing that scene that you talk about with the shoes, which is the whole point of both, you know, the Wizard of Oz and, you know, kind of the confrontation in Wicked, doing it with CGI. Like, perhaps if this person can stand and walk a little bit on their own, they don't need it as much, but they're also willing to do that, you know, with some CGI, with some movie magic, which I think is great. I would be very disappointed at this point if they didn't cast a wheelchair user for Nessa Rose.
Right.
You don't put this statement out and then not do it.
Hey, I see it all the time.
I know. But this is different. This is like a big...
We're looking for people of color. They don't cast someone. We're looking for someone who's non-binary or trans. They don't cast that person. Like, I see it all the time, but the TLC office has very specifically made an effort to make good on their promises like this in the past year, especially. So I hope that that's true.
Samesies.
In an article for the New Statesman, Mandy Patinkin talks with Leah Robson on working with Stephen Sondheim, who is his Shakespeare, let's face it, and our Shakespeare as well. Mandy says, quote, "He said to me, I find that the scenes that need to be musicalized are ones where the emotions are greater than we can understand. In discussing Sunday in the Park with George, the music somehow creates the way into those emotions that are just more explainable." The whole article is really beautiful. It's a great insight. It made my heart warm. And thank you so much for sending it to me, Matt, because it was beautiful.
Yeah, it was great. One of my first, I think probably my first Mandy Patinkin album was Oscar and Steve, in which he did Hammerstein, obviously Rodgers, not just Rodgers and Hammerstein, but mostly Rodgers and Hammerstein songs and Stephen Sondheim songs. Obviously, we all know the connection between Oscar and Steve, and that was really one of my introductions to Sondheim, was through that album. Not my first, but one of my first. So the connection between Mandy Patinkin and Stephen Sondheim is obviously going to be there for everybody for a long time, but it is very much enrooted in my early days as musical theater lover because of their longstanding friendship and really and working relationship. So this was very, very nice.
And we're not going to stop the show with...
Don't stop me now. Sorry.
No, truly the recommendation for today is also Stephen Sondheim related, because I really don't know how to talk about anything else. So in a recommendation from Matt and Ted Chapin and Kelly Allen on Twitter, a conversation with the 92nd Street Y's lyrics and lyricist series with Sondheim from 1971 has resurfaced.
71.
Yeah, it's a great recording. Listen to the 2-hour SoundCloud that we've attached in the show notes. It's a wonderful archival conversation that I think is so relevant for any kind of creative and people that are interested in that. So that's the recommendation for today. Thank you.
Awesome.
Thanks for listening to Today on Broadway. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Broadway Radio. And don't forget about our Patreon. That's patreon.com/Broadway Radio. You can find me on Twitter, Instagram. I was going to say Twitch. Can you imagine if I had a Twitch?
Oh my God,
I think
please.
I might. TikTok at It's Grace Aki. Matt, where can people find you?
At BWW Matt.
Thank you guys so much. I won't see you tomorrow, but somebody else will. Take care.